Joe, have you ever been to Austin?
Only once, and it was 106 degrees. I went in July.
That's the wrong time to go to Austin.
Yeah, but I got to hang out with the guys at 101 Commerce, get to go to CapCon, hang out with Ryan Daniel Moran, and a lot of good folks down in Austin.
There are a lot of good folks down in Austin, and that's why we are hosting a meetup at the end of May for getting everyone together that's down in Austin. When and where are we doing this meetup?
I will be at the Oasis on Lake Travis on May 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. Having a meetup myself, Amanda, and Chris Moore, our content director, will be there hosting it. And we're just inviting anyone in the Austin area that listens to the podcast. Please go to the show notes or go to the Quiet Light Brokerage website and then /meetup/Austin. And the Evite will be right there. Click on it. It'll give you directions and you'll get to see everybody that's coming.
Absolutely. I've seen the guest list that's already said yes. This is going to be a really, really good event. If you want to do some networking or see old friends, I know a lot of the people here already know each other. And so it should be a really good time. I'm bummed that I'm probably not going to be able to get out there. Something about leaving my wife, who we just welcomed our seventh child,
I'm
doesn't
sorry,
feel right.
how many children? I just need to do that. Go ahead.
That would be seven. That would be seven kids. And so, I'll leave eventually, but she may not want me to be gone for a couple of days having fun with everybody down in Austin.
It's work. It's not fun. It's work.
that's what I would tell her. And all of you listening are going to say the same thing if you ever meet her. He worked really, really hard.
Well, we hope everybody in the Austin area can come make it. Look forward to meeting you face to face if we haven't met already.
All of that necessary grunt work, I'll call it, to be able to assign SKUs, to be able to get our pictures taken, to be able to help us with marketing of the products and ultimately our customer satisfaction as well. Because with the size business that we have, we ship about 12,000 orders on average a month. And so,
12,000 orders a month? That's
12,000
amazing.
orders a month.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
Wait a minute. I thought we were stuck in a blender. Now we're saving lives? What?
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 And now, here's Joe and Mark.
Joe, over the past several years, I've sat down and had coffee with people who are looking to buy their first online business. And we talk a lot about what does that process look like, right? How do you go about finding that right opportunity? How do you vet that opportunity? And then even afterwards, what does it look like after you do the acquisition and are spending the first several months in there? What should you be expecting as far as wins and losses? I love it when we have the opportunity to bring somebody on who has gone through this process and they're totally an open book, willing to share what they did. And you had Rocky on, who you sold a business to talk just about that.
Yeah, and actually, I wasn't the broker. I had Rocky make offers on several of my listings, and he wasn't the winning bid or the chosen one. And eventually, he bought one from Amanda, and he openly talks about that process of buying the business, the successes that he's had, the financing that he did, some of his big wins and some of his big losses, and how they sort of played off on each other in the 6 to 8 months after he bought the business.
Oh, that's great. Now, we also have a really exciting announcement here. We had somebody guess one of the movie quotes from the intro. Mike K, right? Was Mike
Come
K?
on now. Come on now.
I
Come on. Do
can't
it.
pronounce
Go
his last
ahead.
name. I'm sorry, Mike. Chris, our producer is in here with me. What's his name, Chris?
Konigschnecht.
Konigschnecht. All right. So Mike Konigschnecht, Big Short, from the very first intro that we ran. Thank you, Mike, for doing that. And hey, guys, if you're listening and you know the quote, send us an email. Come on, send it over. Let us know where it's from. And if you use Google, tell us, be honest, because that's the only way I can ever guess any of these. movie intros. I'm not good at that game at all.
Let's do one more thing, though. Mike, I want you to call me, leave me a voicemail message with the proper pronunciation of your last name, and we'll air it on one of the upcoming episodes.
That's a really good idea. All right, so let's get back over to the actual topic. Let's talk about Rocky and the process that he used to acquire his business.
I'm recording. You can see that in the corner. Hey, folks, it's Joe from Quiet Light Brokerage, and this is another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. And yes, you heard me say I'm recording right at the beginning because I have Rocky on the line with me. Rocky, pronounce your last name for me. Go ahead.
It's Claiborne.
Claiborne. So easy. Spelled funny, but so easy. Rocky and I have talked twice in the last week because, yes, I recorded the best podcast ever last Tuesday with Rocky, but I didn't actually do what, Rocky?
Hit the record button.
Exactly. So we're back at it. In the podcast world, everybody has a story of at least one time forgetting to hit record, and it happened to us last week. So I'm glad you're back. Glad you had time. And I think it's appropriate that we didn't do it 2 minutes after I realized when we were wrapping up that I forgot to hit record. Okay, enough babbling. Rocky Claiborne, tell us about yourself. Who are you and what's your background?
Well, my name is Rocky Claiborne. And after I graduated from college, I ended up starting some businesses that I turned around and then sold. I got into the automobile business in the late 90s and became a general manager of a number of large automobile dealerships, some of which were selling over 600 cars a month. Been doing that for over 20 years and then decided that I wanted to retire. But knew that I didn't want to just sit around and do nothing because that's not who I am. And so I decided that I would buy a business. At first, I looked at brick and mortar businesses. Then I said I wanted to be more cutting edge than that and decided that I would look at e-commerce businesses. Did some vetting and some research, came across Quiet Light Brokerage, and the rest is history, as they say.
So you're a almost retiree that mm-hmm. is in the automobile industry, which is, you know, about as old school as it gets. And you do what? You buy an e-commerce business. And it's a not only that, but it's a jewelry e-commerce business.
Yes, indeed. The company's called Novadab. And I wanted to end up getting into a business that had higher margins and that the jewelry business definitely has. And I wanted to be able to end up operating the business with my daughter. And so she's joined me in this venture. And we really, really enjoy it very, very much.
Well, good, good, good. So I want to take your life experience in terms of being, you know, in business and talk a little bit about the search process that you went through, the vetting process, because I know you looked at a lot of deals. We looked at a few together. And then, you know, your financing, how you decided to pay for this business, to talk a little bit about some of the wins and losses you've had along the way. But before I do that, folks, I want to say that you've heard me say it, you've heard Mark say it in the past, that who you are as a buyer and how you behave as a buyer makes a huge difference in terms of getting the deal done. Not just with the broker. Look, we're here to help both sides of the transaction no matter what. And sometimes it does matter in terms of the likability of you, the buyer, because if we're in a multiple offer situation, our client, the seller, is going to say, who do you like? What do you think? Who are we going to get through due diligence with and all the way to closing? And they're going to say, who do you think will be better to work with after closing in transition and training? And Rocky is that type of guy. You struck me, you bought this last fall, in fall of 2018, and we talked a few times before that. And then lo and behold, I hear you're under LOI and under contract with a deal that Amanda had and excited about it. I even got an email from her and from the lender, Steven Spear, about what a great guy you were. So good for you. And folks, this is what it takes sometimes. So again, all right, Rocky, tell us about your vetting process. How long did it take you to find Novadab, and how many deals did you look at and how many deals did you make an offer on? And I know you're going to come up with ballpark numbers because you probably looked at more than you can remember.
Well, that's true. I did look at quite a number of them, actually. I started the process February of last year, and I looked at quite a few businesses. As a matter of fact, I did do some research and found out that I had actually in-depth researched over 14 businesses that I was trying to end up purchasing. I utilized a company called Centurica with Chris Yates, actually did quite a bit of study for me, because I learned early in life that you want to surround your people, yourself with people that are knowledgeable of the businesses that you're looking to try to purchase, and also know what you don't know. And I certainly was very, very glad to end up having Chris be part of the search process, as well as helping me do the analysis, because two heads are better than one. And he provided me some great insight. And as a matter of fact, prevented me from, or didn't prevent me, but certainly lent some insight as to why I wouldn't want to purchase certain businesses out there. So we did some due diligence together, ultimately landed on Novadab. And then through that same process and through a podcast, I was introduced to Stephen Spear. And Stephen really, again, you want to surround yourself with really, really smart people that are hardworking. And I give it back to you all at Quiet Light, and also Stephen Spear and Chris Yates in guiding me to a purchase that ultimately I've been very, very happy with and have enjoyed, as I say, operating with my daughter.
So you started in February 2018. When did you close on Novadab?
August 23rd.
August 23rd. So just about 8 months. No, 6 months.
6 months.
All right. I actually did this today. I talked to a buyer today and I said, look, man, it's trying to find that perfect business is like looking for a needle in a haystack inside of a giant big ass haystack. And he said, absolutely. And he's looked at 53 cases. He's looked at 53 of our listings in the last, I think, probably 12 months. So a lot more than you probably looked at. How many of the businesses that you looked at, you said you looked at 14 in depth. How many of those did you make offers on?
I actually only made offers on 5 of them. And one of them actually was one of your offers, where I was reaching for that brass ring, if you will. But because I hadn't been in the e-commerce business previously, we felt that it wasn't something that we could end up doing and securing the financing ultimately with Steven. So while I reached for it and wanted to try to do it, I'm certainly glad that we ended up where we did in purchasing Novadab.
Good, good, good. All right. So quickly, and I don't mean to plug Centurica. We don't get any referral fees. They're not an advertiser. But what I've talked about historically with Centurica is that once you're under letter of intent, they will help you with due diligence. We give a great deal of information on our listings, but no matter what, you're going to want to dig deep. You're going to want to look at bank statements, vendor invoices, Amazon statements, credit card statements, all that in due diligence. And when you do an SBA deal, like you did, Rocky, with Steven at First Home Bank, they've got a third-party valuation team, they've got an underwriting team, and they're going to dig in and vet the business as well. So you've got lots of people that are helping. But one of the things that Centurica did for you, just to make sure if I understand it, is that they didn't just help you with due diligence once under LOI, they helped you with the search process as well and made sense in advance of making the letter, making the offer and going under a letter of intent, correct?
Yes, indeed they did. In fact, Chris and I took a look at a number of different businesses together and looked at the attributes, the positive things about the different businesses and how they might indeed tie into my skill sets or not necessarily tie into my skill set. And by doing that, he really helped guide me to purchasing a business that fit my skill set that I could then expand upon and ultimately grow the way that we actually have grown the business over the last 6 months. So he was involved from day one with the search for a business, and it really provided me that handholding that when you're investing the kind of money that you invest in these businesses, really gives you somebody to lean on and obtain great information.
Cool. Good. I want to get into the growth, but let's hold off on that just for a moment because I do want to learn there. Stephen Spear, Bank United, another great lender that we're working with is Bruce Marks out of Radius Banks for those listening. And if anyone listening has an amazing SBA lender, please shoot me an email, joe@quietlifebrokerage.com, and make an introduction. The more, the merrier. Bruce and Stephen, though, are top notch. I don't think you can go wrong with them at all. Okay, in regard to the SBA lending process, we're not going to talk about the purchase price of the business here, but generally it's, depending on deal size, the lenders are looking for something from 10 to 25% equity infusion, and that can come from the buyer and the seller or from just the buyer. Rocky, in purchasing this business, how much percentage of the overall deal did you have to come up with?
I ended up coming up with approximately 20% of the overall deal, including the inventory. And there were some reasons behind that, that I did not want to end up pledging my home as a security with the SBA, which they look to try to do. And so in exchange for that, I put up some additional equity in order to not have my home secure. And it was really quite interesting. The sellers also took back a note for 15% of the total deal. And and it was interesting in that when we did the interview, as you mentioned previously, even on this podcast, and how important it really is to end up building a relationship with the seller. Everybody thinks that when they're a buyer, that they're in the driver's seat. When you have as much demand for e-commerce businesses, particularly the good e-commerce businesses that you really want to buy, you're the one that's being interviewed as a buyer to end up buying that business. And you really should treat it as an interview because you are being interviewed by the seller. They've taken a lot of their hard work, and really it's their baby, if you will, and grown it and brought it to where it is. And now they're turning around and trusting you with it. So you want to end up making a good impression. And certainly during that interview process, want to make sure that you put your best foot forward. And what ultimately happened for me is that I, like many others, faced a situation where there were multiple offers on the business. Mine was not the highest of offers. In fact, mine was about $50,000 less than the next offer. And wow. He took my offer. And it's great because the two of us are still talking with each other on a regular basis. And in fact, we formed another business that we can talk about in a little bit.
Good for you. You formed another business together in your retirement years.
Yes, indeed.
Crazy Rocky. That's what I'm going to call you from now on. It's interesting, you know, being likable on those calls gets you, obviously, you got the deal, $50,000 less than the highest bidder. But also a 15% seller note, that's not standard. I think the highest that I've seen, and I've done a fair amount of SBA deals, is 10%. So good for you. This total 35% equity infusion is interesting. 20% from you, 15% seller note for the seller. And it's news to me that the equity infusion that you brought to the table scratched the requirement by the lender to have your house as collateral on the business. So that's fantastic. Good news there. Let's talk about...
That was thanks to Stephen as well. He did negotiation for me with that as well.
That's terrific. Let's talk about the transition and training period here. You've got a physical product business. The business model itself is not your standard typical e-commerce business where you're selling on, let's say, a Shopify store and Amazon. You're also selling on, I don't want to call them daily deal sites. How would you classify Zoot, Woolily, Zoot? Hold on. Let's just talk about my mispronunciation. I said Zoot and Woolily. I meant Woot and Zoolily, a Groupon, things of that nature. Okay, enough. We can make fun of me all day long. It'll be a long podcast. Tell us about the model and where your products are being sold so that everybody understands the business model itself.
Sure. We are, our biggest partner happens to be Groupon, and Zoolily is our second biggest partner. We only do at this point about 10% of our business on Amazon. The rest are on really deal sites, as you mentioned. We have a company called Mobstub that we do business with, OpenSky, and some of Walmart, of course, and some of the other platforms that really are great opportunities for growth for us. But we're what's called a preferred vendor on both Zulily and on Groupon, and it works out very, very well for all of us.
Well, you know, we don't have enough conversation about deal sites like Groupon, Zulily, Woot, all of them. And I think the key, and tell me if I'm wrong, and tell me, expand on it if I'm right, but the key to success on deal sites like that is SKU count and new SKUs and being able to present new products on a regular basis. Is that right? Is that what sets you apart and allows you to do business with them on a regular basis?
Very much so. They're looking for new products to list on their sites. And what we do is we try to do 3 new products a week on each, on the Groupon site as an example. And by doing that, we can end up growing along with them, and they can present fresh products to their customers on a regular basis. And so we vet products out, we put them on their site, and ultimately we get orders from their customers, of course, and it helps us grow our business on our home site because they'll order their initial product from, say, a Groupon or Zulily, but because we send our product out branded, with branded boxes or bags, they then can come to our website, and we really have done quite a bit of growth through our website and our emails because of those different vending
ports. That's fantastic. So in this situation, are you using a 3PL or are you fulfilling orders yourself?
We fulfill our orders ourselves. I've got a wonderful team of people here in New Hampshire. In fact, we moved the business from Texas to New Hampshire over the Labor Day weekend and did not miss any orders that were placed with those portals that were required to ship within a certain period of time. And the women that fulfill our orders here do an awesome, awesome job. And we're very, very glad to end up being able to provide not only jobs for them, but also we take real care in presenting our product to our customers. And because we have control of it, we really feel as though it gets into the hands of our customers in a timely fashion, and also with it having looking its best.
Did the company come with any outsourced VAs that transferred with the business, or did you take it over with your daughter?
Well, my daughter and I took it over, and she does the day-to-day operations, but we ended up having a wonderful team in India. And as a matter of fact, we'll go into some of the mistakes that I made and why that team ended up being so very important to our ultimate success. When I bought the business, we had just about 510 SKUs. During the last quarter of the year, I increased those number of SKUs from 510 to over 800.
Wow.
And it was, I thought, pretty easy. You just go out, you source the product, you bring it in, you get some pictures, put it online, put some marketing behind it, and you're all good to go.
Simple. Well, I mean, it's e-commerce. That's all it takes, right?
That's all it takes.
So I'm sensing we're going to have a valuable lesson come out of this.
Yes, very much valuable lesson. But out of your mistake come your biggest opportunities as well. And what happened was, you know, I would go out and I would source all of this product and be bringing it in. And it was a little bit overwhelming to our people at the warehouse as far as stocking it in, having the SKUs. But you have to create those SKUs. You have to end up picturing them, get them on the website. And so our team in India provided us with all of that necessary grunt work, I'll call it, to be able to assign SKUs, to be able to get our pictures taken, to be able to help us with marketing of the products, and ultimately our customer satisfaction as well. Because with the size business that we have, we ship about 12,000 orders on average a month. And so
12,000 orders a month?
That's amazing. Orders a month. Yep. And in doing that, we certainly have customers that we want to make sure that are taken care of. And so we have 4 customer service people in India. We have a graphics designer, we have a website developer, and a number of other people that help us really execute the plan. We couldn't be where we are today and have experienced the growth that we experienced without their help. And
Rocky, you're 12,000, I mean, that's 400 orders a day. Are you capturing email addresses for every single one of those customers?
Almost all of them.
Are you doing any email marketing?
Absolutely. We have about 125,000 email addresses at this time, and we email market every single day, Monday through Sunday.
What software are you using?
We're using MailChimp.
MailChimp. You need to go to ecomcrew.com, listen to Mike Jackness talk about his email campaigns that he does on one of his businesses. I actually just sold listings of my business of Mike's, and it's that business that he talks about. He goes all around the world speaking about it. He doesn't use MailChimp. He uses Klaviyo. And the getting 400 new email addresses a day, 12,000 a month, is gold to somebody with the skill set to be able to send additional emails. And with the volume of SKUs you have, I would think that that's a growth opportunity, a huge one for you. Not that I know anything about it. Mike knows everything about it. So ecomcrew.com for anybody listening that wants to do email marketing and Klaviyo as well. I think you should check it out too. I know you love listening to the Quiet Light podcast, but I'm going to point you over to Ecom Crew too. Let's talk briefly about your growth. I mean, 12,000 orders a month is great. How many orders a month was it doing when you bought the business 8 months ago?
We've actually experienced about a 60% growth overall.
60% growth, and you used to run automobile dealerships. You had no, other than e-commerce websites for the auto dealerships, did you have any e-commerce business experience?
No, actually, I did not.
What is fueling that growth other than your wisdom and your brilliance, Rocky? What is happening here? How are you doing this?
All right. In some respects,
your daughter. Let's just say it's your daughter now because she's going to listen to this.
Yes, absolutely. It goes back to, realistically, I was able to purchase a business where the gentleman who sold me the business is still actively helping me run the business. And so that really helps quite a bit. It goes back to the relationship that he and I built when he was selling the business to me.
Is he being paid for that beyond the sale of the business and the transition and training period? Is it a consulting deal, or he's just a really nice guy?
No, he is a nice guy. I will say that. He is not being paid to end up doing the consulting work. What happened was we ended up forming, because of my mistakes in adding these 300 SKUs at the end of the year, we formed some businesses, two businesses together. And so he wants to end up helping me continue the run of Novadab and the growth of Novadab. And in turn, the two of us are helping each other grow these two new businesses.
This is a first where we sold a business and then the buyer of the business starts another business with the guy who sold it. I think that's fantastic. It goes to the relationships and being likable and connecting. I guess it's not always going to happen for sure. And sometimes people just want an exit. They want an exit and they want to be done. They go through that initial transition and training period, which the standard, folks, is up to 90 days, up to 40 hours over the first 90 days. And if you don't have a seller note like Rocky did, there's something called a holdback. A certain percentage of the funds just reside in escrow and then are released in 90 days after that transition and training period is over. All right. Well, you've grown it 60%. Is that what you said? 60%?
The last quarter of the year, we grew at 60%. The first quarter of this year, year over year growth was 40%.
Wow. Unbelievable. All right. So, but those 300 and something SKUs that you added, big win, big loss. What was the loss and what was the win?
The loss was definitely that I overwhelmed the team. Again, it's just to add that many SKUs in such a short period of time during the peak quarter, if you will, mm-hmm. a mistake on my part. It definitely was too much, too fast. And while they were very, very helpful in trying to get them launched, we actually didn't get them up as quickly as what we would want to. At the same time, three of the SKUs that we did end up launching, I know it's not a great percentage, but three of the SKUs ended up selling over 20,000 pieces during the month of December. So it really provided some real good growth to us. And the other SKUs, some of them are working, some of them are not, but you have to try. And ultimately, we're going to end up having most of those SKUs work and retire some of the older SKUs. You have to freshen your product up on a regular basis. I just tried to do it all too quickly. That's all.
Well, that's all right. That's just part of the learning process. At least, it's a product line that doesn't go bad and you can sell through them, discount them, and maybe retire a few, but that's pretty awesome. The big win. Let's talk about what you're doing with the guy who sold you the business. You've started two new businesses together. What are they?
We started two new businesses. The first one is called Profinac, and it stands for Professional Financial Accountants. And the reason...
Okay, I just have to say this sounds like prophylactic. How did you pick that name?
You and my wife said the same thing.
She's a brilliant woman. Now, let me tell you that right now. Profinac, okay.
I will have to say that's part of why we're partners. I did not pick that name. Ashish picked that name for me or for us. But the reason it stands for, as I say, Professional Financial Accountants. And
okay.
So we ran with that. And see, we're having an impression on everybody just as we sit here and talk.
It's now unforgettable to the thousands that are listening. So Professional Financial Accountants, you're doing online bookkeeping for e-commerce businesses?
Yes, we do online bookkeeping for e-commerce businesses. We also do sales tax management. We end up doing payroll services for people as well, income statements.
Wow.
We'll do anything that they need to in order to offload what I feel that many e-commerce and really small businesses don't want to end up doing. They get so bogged down in being a business operator, they don't end up being a business owner. And so by taking off the real necessary, you have to keep score somehow. And if this way somebody else can do it, it ends up being allowing you to end up focusing in on the growth of the business. So, yeah,
and there's, in my experience, I mean, growth is important if and when it's, you know what, it's really when you decide to sell the business, and it may be 15 years from now, it may be passing it on to a family member, but they're still going to want financials. When you decide the business, you've got to have good, clean financials. You can't commingle it with other brands and things that you want to keep. You're just going to get less value for the business. And the time to start planning that exit, even if it's in 10 years, is now by getting good, clean financials. So I think the prophylactic company, the Profinac, is a great business model. I'm sorry, I won't do that again. What's the other, is it, all right, profinac.com, I assume?
Yes, it is.
All right.
And
we'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, I appreciate that. The other thing is that's what you and Stephen taught me as far as the businesses were concerned, in the sense of being able to provide a clean set of financials so that when you end up wanting to sell your business, you have those financials that can end up getting that SBA approval ultimately.
Let me ask the question, because I think it's probably on some folks' mind in the event they, you know, need these types of services and are doing it a little bit themselves right now. Are you using Xero or QuickBooks?
We will use both.
Really?
Yes, we'll do either one for them. The team is well versed in both. We feel though that Xero will end up providing them with much more in-depth information though.
I agree. I hear that a lot. The one thing that I wish the developers of Xero would do is allow a profit and loss statement to be ran with a longer date range than just 12 months. When someone sends us the Xero reports, we have to merge all of the years together in order to get to a running P&L, which we always want to present. With QuickBooks, it's easy. And also the Xero folks, they're not US based, I don't think, because all of the dates are reversed of what we do here in the States, which is the reverse of everybody else in the world, I'm sure.
Yeah, very, very true. It's they're an e-commerce based platform, and they were founded on the e-commerce platform, or in the cloud, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so that's one reason why we feel that it's provides us with a lot of tremendous opportunity that way.
Good. What's the second business that you're starting with your new business partner?
It's called Support Tab, and that is SUPPORTAB.com.
Only one T.
Only one T. We don't know how to spell either.
This is going to support your abs. That's what this is going to do. Okay, what does Support Tab do?
Support Tab basically provides, again, a lot of the necessary support that an e-commerce business needs. This is going back to my big mistake of introducing those 300 SKUs. I needed to end up having a team, a website developer, for example, customer satisfaction people, graphics designer, marketing person. That's what we provide to people that are in the e-commerce world. And what we do that's a little bit different than some of the other businesses out there is that we have it all, and we call it omni-channel, where instead of multi-channel. And omni-channel basically is the integration of all of those different facets under one roof, where your customer satisfaction team or your customer service team, your website developing team, your graphics team are all working together. And that way they communicate with each other and interact with each other as far as what the overall goal of the company is. Whereas if you do it multi-channel, you might go out and hire a bookkeeper, you might go out and hire customer service people, but they never talk to each other, so they don't get that common feel of the business going forward. We Yep. put it all under one roof, and we also provide the supervision and management of that team. So we interview the companies and we ask them what their goals are, and then we then convey that and manage the team towards those goals, talk with the owner of the company on a regular basis, and then we make sure that we're doing what it is that they want us to end up doing in order to achieve their goals.
Well, based upon my experience in doing thousands of valuations, I would say it's a very needed service, because a lot of people that sell their business sell because they're just pulled in too many different directions, feel like they're going nowhere, and just need to cash out and get some emotional satisfaction because they're not getting any, because they're working in the business instead of on the business. So Support Ab, Support 1T Ab, .com sounds great. But Rocky, you don't have any e-commerce experience. You're an experienced business person who's been, you know, managing a very difficult niche in the automotive world for 20 plus years. Now you've got Novadab. So I guess that brings, you know, that life experience to starting these two new companies, which are essentially service agencies, which are definitely needed. What about your business partner before Novadab, or what kind of e-commerce world experience does he have?
Well, he founded Novadab and certainly brought it to fruition. And then before that, he worked for AT&T for a period of time in website development. And was doing a lot of computer work himself, and so that's one of the my partners.
So he's mature. He's not in his early 20s that started a first business, sold it, and is doing more business with you. He's got some real world experience behind him as well.
Very much so. And and the other partner that we have is actually his brother, who is located in India. And is heads up the operation over in India for us, so that we have someone who has experience. He worked for Pfizer for a period of time and did marketing for them, and has spent the time building our team in India and sourcing all of our employees that we end up hiring in that area.
Wow. Well, is his brother, is he and his brother originally from the States, or born in India and relocated to the States?
They were born in India, and she came over here, Andy, came over here to go to college, graduated from college, and wanted to stay for a period of time, and has now located in Austin is where he is.
Oh, that's great. That's great to have, you know, a direct contact there that is, you know, an owner of the business, relative of one of the owners of the business as well. So that's fantastic. Well, Rocky, this is a great story. I'm running out of time here. I appreciate you coming back on and actually allowing me to record this one. Thank you very much for your humor in that regard and your time. I'm very impressed that you've taken this and grown it to the level you have in such a short period of time. Just for your daughter's sake, he's given you all of the credit. In case you're listening, Rocky is just, you know, showing up every day. I'm kidding, of course. Next time we have you on, I want another update. Maybe in another 12 months, we can get you back on. Maybe have your daughter on as well. What do you think?
That would be awesome. I couldn't do it without her. That's for sure. She takes care of the day-to-day operations and allows me to end up working these other businesses, and really without the team that I have, I wouldn't be where I am. So I really appreciate all of their hard work, without a doubt.
And we appreciate the type of person you are, the type of buyer you are, and the fact that everything's gone so smoothly. I'm so glad to hear for your success. Thank you for coming on the podcast, and I look forward to doing an update with you sometime in the future.
Thanks very much for having me, Joe. It's been a real, real lot of fun. Take care.
You too.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light Content Team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.